Welcome to episode number 2 of the Retro Rewind podcast.
Oh yeah.
Retro Rewind systems initialized. Mission identified. The Rocketeer. 1991. Co-hosts online. Auditory analysis online. All systems nominal.
Hi everyone, I'm Francisco Ruiz, and this is the podcast where we look at movies and video games from 15 or more years ago, and if they're still worth experiencing today. I'm joined, as usual, by my co-host, Paul Powers.
Paul, what?
Did that same thing last time. Anyways, Paul, my question for you this time is, who is the best Mario Brothers villain?
Oh, Bowser, hands down.
All right, cool. I was just curious.
Well, how many? Oh, you mean like Waluigi and like
Well,
Mario?
I was going to say, I was just thinking the big three, Bowser, King Toad, I think is his name, and then Wario.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is it King Koopa or Bowser? Let's let the listeners decide.
Oh, okay, yeah. Let us know, listeners. Is King Koopa and Bowser the same person or two different people?
Yeah, what's the deal?
Yeah. So this, usually we have a guest host, and Christy, my wife, was going to be guest hosting this time, but unfortunately she had another thing come up, and so it's just going to be the Dos Amigos.
Okay. What happened to Chevy Chase?
He's on a Christmas vacation.
But by the time this airs, it's not Christmas anymore.
Oh, well, but it yeah, is but now. We are recording this mid-December of 2012.
Yes, it's actually 12-12-12.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It is 12-12-12. Apparently the last time in history that this will happen.
No, for another 100 years.
Well, no, then it'll be 1-2-1-2-1-1-2.
No, it'll be 2-1-1-2-1-2-1-2.
Wait, where'd you get the 2-1?
Because 100 years from now will be 2112.
Yes.
Not 2012.
I know. So,
the date will 12 be 12
December.
12,
12 day 1
12.
1-2.
That's not 1-1. It's not 0-1-2. Well, it is, but it's 2000. Never mind.
Okay. Let's get on with the show.
It'll happen again in 100 years.
You know what? When they move on to star dates, all this won't matter. So let's just move on. How about let's go ahead and get in this show. Tell us what we're going to be doing this time around.
We're going to have our usual NewTube segment. As you heard in the intro, we're going to be doing a roundtable discussion on The Rocketeer. The Rock-a-who?
The Rocketeer.
All right, we'll give you a final verdict on whether you should watch it or not and wrap up the show with announcements and feedback.
Yeah, though we didn't get any feedback, so it'll just be announcements this time.
Oh, yeah. Well, put your mic closer to the speaker and you can get some feedback.
We're just full of puns today. All right, let's get to the YouTube segment.
YouTube systems engaged.
All right, Paul, what is your NewTube for today?
I don't have jack. No.
Wait, is that old 90s video game?
That's You Don't Know Jack.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but I did enjoy the video you posted, which could be found on the Facebook, about the old Nintendo games and the... With the sound effects on there. So this is just a reminder to the listeners to check out our Facebook page. And the links that we share on there, because some are some really cool things.
Yeah, totally. And that's at facebook.com/retrorewindpodcast. And we'll mention that again at the end of the show. And I also want to say that video is made by the website polygon.com, which is a relatively new gaming site, or gaming reviews, features, things like that.
Oh, is that like Game Informer or that kind of thing?
It's similar, yeah.
It wants to be.
Well, I'd say it's better, but anyways.
Oh, wow. Oh, gotta check that out.
Yeah, do that.
All right. So what is your new tube segment?
My new tube for this time is this game called Triple Town. Have you heard of that game?
Not. No.
Okay. So it's a game that I found through Google Plus. They have several games there. Essentially what it is...
Whoa. What platform? Is this on the computer?
Yeah. So okay. It's like similar to a game that you'd play in Facebook. It's like Flash-based, and you say you want to associate my account with this game. It's similar to that, except Google+. So you look through the games for Triple Town. You find this one. There's a little bear icon, or a stylized bear. Anyways, what the game is you get essentially this little plot of land, and it's random each time, and then you get a random item each turn, and it could be a bush, grass, a tree. Mostly it's grass, but then
so it's like Farmville.
Well, wait till you get to the punchline. What you're trying to do with these items is you place them to connect three or more together, and when you do that, they combine to create the next level up of item.
Oh, like a green mushroom appears?
No, not that kind of one up. Like, let's say you take three grasses and you put them together, then they combine to be one bush. Three bushes combine to be a tree. Three trees combine to be a house, and it just goes on and on from there. Yes, good job.
Kind of the moon and the planet and three galaxies equals one universe, and three universes equals wars between superheroes.
Yeah, I've never gotten it up that high, but sure. Yeah.
All right.
I'd like to think that that's what happens. Anyways, it's pretty fun. It's just a fun, you don't have to invest a whole lot of time, like big chunks of time. You can do it in like 15-minute chunks or so. And then when you finish, like you've run out of all the spaces, you filled them in, then you're done. It creates, you get a score. And then you go back to your main encampment where you build up your sort of a capital city that has different items that you group together in threes to create different things like factories and defenses and farms and things like that.
Oh, so it's a good time waster.
Yeah, but it can be a time waster, but you don't, if you can only, like, you only have a few minutes in the morning before you go to work or on your lunch, it's really good because, you know, you can have closure to the game or each time you play.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And what's it called again?
Triple Town.
Triple Town.
Yep. Beware the bears.
Okay. I guess that's a game reference.
To that game, because little bears will keep you from building stuff.
Oh.
Anyway, I like to say anyway. Let's move on to our roundtable discussion of The Rocketeer.
Alert, alert, target located. Spoilers incoming. Engaging retro rewind reactor.
To some, it was the fulfillment of a dream. To others, it was an instrument of destruction. A creation that could change the course of history.
It was stolen from my factory.
Where's the package?
This is the FBI!
What do we tell the president?
Tell me exactly why this merchandise is so important to the feds.
It's a rocket.
A rocket?
Ow! What's the matter?
I don't know. There's something under the seat.
Oh, my. What do we got here? What are you supposed to do? Is it a bomb or something?
No.
I wouldn't touch that if I were you.
How do I look? like a hood ornament.
Stand clear.
What was that?
Big gopher.
Ah! Are you trying to kill yourself?
I like it.
Uh-oh, we got company.
You steer, I'll push.
You're what?
I will not rocket, Eddie. Not next week, not tomorrow. Now.
Keep your eyes open for this dame.
Jenny's in trouble.
They're working for a Nazi agent.
With an army equipped with these, you could rule the world.
Cliff! You touch one here on her head, I swear out.
Shoot him!
We've got the girl. The rocket will come to us.
I love her, Peeve.
Does she know that?
She's gonna find out.
Let him have it! Hand over the rocket!
Rocketeer.
Go get him, kid.
The Rocketeer is a movie from 1991. It was directed by Joe Johnson. Do you know what else Joe Johnson has directed recently, Paul?
Oh, recently. Yes. He actually did, which is in the same flavor, Captain America.
He did. The First Avenger. Which, just brief side note, did you know that was just called The First Avenger in other countries?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Because apparently people don't like us in other countries.
Oh, that's right, because he's Captain America.
Yeah, exactly.
What did they call him in there?
I think in the movie they still called him that, but the like movie posters and marketing was just The First Avenger.
Okay, so people would go see it not knowing they were supporting America.
Anyways, the writers were...
Do you know what else he directed, though?
Didn't he direct one of the Pixar movies?
Maybe, but just before he directed this movie, he directed Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
What?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Jeez, that's crazy. A future Retro Rewind episode, I'm sure.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. The writers for The Rocketeer were Dave Stevens wrote the graphic novel, and then Danny Bilson did some story treatment. I'm just reading off IMDb, you know, the greatest resource for movies. And it stars Billy Campbell, Jennifer Connelly, Alan Arkin, which he was fun, Timothy Dalton, and in the role of Howard Hughes, John Polito. No, that's not
no.
right. Oh, Terry O'Quinn from yes. Lost fame of most recent.
Yes. That was fun to see him. I totally did not. It was a great shock when he came on screen. It was like, oh my gosh, it's Locke. That's so cool. He's in a lot of movies.
You know, totally.
In his younger days. Mm-hmm. His older days? His younger days. His previous days.
Both? I remember most vividly from The Cutting Edge.
Really? He's in that?
Mm-hmm. That's he's the dad of the girl skater.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I think he's also in Tombstone, if I remember correctly.
I don't recall. Anyways, The Rocketeer, moving on, is in the action-adventure family sci-fi genre. And it had a budget of $40 million, and it grossed $46 million in the USA.
Wow.
Yep.
They were actually... Well, I don't want to do... Anyway.
Well, why don't you go ahead and give us the synopsis of the movie, Paul?
Okay. The discovery of a top-secret jetpack hurls test pilot Cliff Seeker, Secord, into a daring adventure of mystery, suspense, and intrigue. Cliff encounters an assortment of ruthless villains led by a Hollywood screen star who's a secret Nazi spy,
a.k.a.
Timothy Dalton. Didn't he also play another spy, like, 007 or something like
that. Yes, he was a James Bond.
All right. He's always a spy. Anyway, nice. With the help of his actress girlfriend, the young pilot battles enormous odds to defeat his foes, who are anxious to use the device in an evil plan to rule the world. The dangerous mission transforms this ordinary... Sorry, the reading on that is all off. Let me try that one more time, Mr. Director. The dangerous mission transforms this ordinary young man into an extraordinary hero. That's it.
Okay. I was waiting for the like the closing music there. All right, let's go ahead and kick us off here. What do you remember? Let's talk about the themes in the story of the Rocketeer first. But what do you remember in terms of the theme or story?
The theme or the story? Set in the, I would say around the early 1930s.
1938.
I was pretty close.
Good job.
Yeah. So I remember that it being set back at that time, going just the fun idea of finding a rocket, battling spies, winning the girl. Yeah. So that's what I remember. Fun action, that kind of thing. So, well, I wouldn't say action, like high action. It's not like wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, kind of thing. This is probably the wrong reference, but...
A little bit.
But it's not consistent, but it is a fun ride.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you remembered. How does that compare to rewatching it?
A lot of it was the same. It wasn't this over-the-top, like, oh, wow, it's mind-blowing thing, but it was a fun journey as this... You know, battling, trying to outwit the spies and trying to get the girl.
Okay. I found it... I thought this... Well, I'm going to comment on that and then I'll go into what I remembered and how it compares. So you said that... I totally agree that it's sort of... had moments of really good action, but it sort of wasn't consistent, and it wasn't like diehard action. It was more just like, oh, fun, like rescue adventure action.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I did not find that overall. Actually, let me go ahead and just, let's see.
Don't spoil it. You.
I'm totally reading my notes to see. I'm going to go ahead and go into what I remembered because it sort of leads into it. I remember getting – one of the things I remember about the story is – and I don't know if I was just watching it too many times when I was younger. I saw this movie probably when it came out, so I was 10.
Okay.
And I remember seeing it several times, but I sort of just got bored with it and –
Wait, bored with it back when you were younger or bored with it now?
Bored with it back when I was younger. So I was thinking, you know what? And I don't know if it's just the story or what about it sort of just bored me if it was just watching it too many times. So on rewatching it, I was thinking, okay, so it's been a long time. Like I haven't seen it forever. And so I probably won't be as bored. But I...
Still bored.
I was still bored as
it's went slow on. Moving. Yeah.
It is, and the action scenes for its time are, and we'll talk about this more in the visuals. But I thought they were good, and I was engaged in them. But yeah, just overall, I felt the story of him finding the rocket and then trying to keep it away from the bad guys, and then using it. I felt like he could have done a lot more with the rocket, or the rocket, him as the Rocketeer could have had a lot more adventuring than what transpired.
Let me, I want to take what you said and go into a tail dive and then pull up again.
Sweet. Nice reference to the movie.
Basically, speaking of story, I get what you're saying there. Let me take you back. About a month or two ago, I was listening to another podcast, one of Kevin Smith's podcasts on the Smodco Network.
Mm-hmm.
Podcast listeners. He has a podcast called Smoovie Makers.
Okay.
And it's the fourth episode, and it basically, he talks, it's the 20th anniversary of The Rocketeer, and he's hosting the panel.
Oh, wow, okay. And,
you know, and so a lot of information that I found out there, I highly recommend anybody listening to it. There's a couple words in there that maybe not safe for little ears, but overall, general, I recommend it, especially if you're interested in The Rocketeer.
Okay.
One of the things that they talk about is that the original story that you were talking about was written by the guy who created The Rocketeer, the original comic book, and he also drew it and everything.
That was, again, Dave
Stevens.
Dave Stevens, yes.
Right. So, and they said on the podcast that basically they took his, I think it was five comic books miniseries, five or six miniseries. I think it was five. And they built the movie off of that. A lot of the movies based on that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I went on eBay and I got a trade paperback for under $10 of the whole collection of it.
Oh, nice.
To read it. And then I wanted to watch it again after reading it. And then this came up and it was like, oh, cool, we can watch it for the podcast. And everything. Mm-hmm. So I read it before watching it. And the whole idea, the story of, you know, there's the Nazis who have this rocket and the FBI's after them. They hide it in the plane, you know, and then Cliff takes it and is trying to... That whole segment is from the comic books.
Yeah, okay.
So, but if you... I'm always a big fan of the books, usually more than the movies. Like, oh, the book's better, right?
Sure.
But this is one of the cases where the book is fine, but the movie brings it up like a whole nother level. Like,
really?
You have that, and then they really expand on it.
Huh.
So there's a couple little differences. Like, the girl is actually, in the comic books, it's actually the pinup star Betty Page.
Okay.
And for people who know that. And basically, she's this, not a Hollywood actress, but this model.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole thing, his motivation in the comic books is to try to win her over.
Oh, okay.
To win the money. At first, and what I liked about the movie, it's like he's trying to, first they're struggling to make money just to make ends meet, you know, for the airplane.
Yeah.
But in the comic books, it's always to impress her, to make money to impress her. So I like this a little more, you know, let's make this a little more real. You know? So I appreciate the story a little with the movie a little more after reading the comic book because it just brought it up to another level. So
that's cool.
It's a long-winded. It didn't pull up very fast.
That's okay.
In my analogy, you know, into soaringness, but I liked the story better after reading the original book.
Yeah, no, that's so, I totally get that. Wow, it certainly sounds like it gave you good perspective.
Yeah.
Cool. Was there anything else, any like theme that stood out to you or anything else that you had remembered?
The theme song?
No, just the theme, a theme of the movie. Like, for instance, I'll go ahead and take I remember liking the whole idea of, have you heard the phrase, the enemy of my enemy is my friend?
Yes.
Okay. So that kept, when I was getting ready to watch the movie again, I kept going back to thinking about how it was so cool at the end that the FBI and the mobster gangster guys sort of team up against the Nazis.
Yeah.
I there's something about that that's, I don't know, it just totally speaks to me that you can find common ground against a greater foe no matter who you are. So I really like that theme. And that's still held up. That is still fun to see that again. I thought one thing that I had forgotten about was this whole trope of, and sort of going back, it's similar to Die Hard in that, you know, the tall Nazi guy, backbreaker guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the German, yeah, the Nazi version of Bane.
Yeah, kind of looks like a character from Dick Tracy.
Yeah, it totally did.
Yeah.
So I thought it was interesting how you thought he killed, we thought he died, but then he comes back at the end. I had forgotten about that, but in rewatching it, it was just interesting seeing that that's used even in other movies.
Oh. Now, did you think he died when the house got shot up? When do you think he died?
I thought there was an explosion and then he died. Like, well, I know he died at on the blimp.
Right. That was the explosion that I know of.
Yeah. I thought there was some other part.
Maybe I don't remember
the house. I don't know.
All right. We'll have to rewatch it.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, for, you know what? For whatever reason, this movie had trouble staying on my RAM of my head.
What do you mean?
Like, retaining what happened for whatever reason. I would think that I would have retained more of it, but I didn't for whatever reason.
All right. Do you remember him flying through the air and then, like, skipping through the water and landing in the mud?
I remember watching that when I watched it recently. I had forgotten about that from when I first watched it.
Yeah. All right. Just wondering what stuck in your memory then. Okay.
Well, what did other stick? Things stuck in, but those are like the themes or story elements.
Yeah. Yeah.
Were there any others that you wanted to bring up?
I remember Jennifer Connelly. But
well, speaking of her, let's go ahead and go into characters because it sounds like that's where you want to go.
that's what I remember.
Just Jennifer Connelly. Honestly, that was the only person I remember, like, that I could say, oh yeah, Jennifer Connelly was in that.
Yeah.
I would not have been able to say Billy Campbell or Alan Arkin, even though I liked Alan Arkin.
Or Timothy Dalton.
Yeah, I could have. I might have been able to. I didn't realize Timothy Dalton. It's one of those characters where I recognize him a lot, but I don't necessarily know his name is Timothy Dalton.
Okay.
So I probably could have said, "It's this British actor. I think he's a James Bond."
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I totally get that. Oh, did you know this was Billy? What's his name?
Campbell.
Yeah, this was his first movie.
And his last. Now, I don't really remember him in other things.
Exactly. But I thought he did really good for a first-time actor in the lead role.
You know, I thought he was fine.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Actually, let me go back. Him acting was fine. But in terms of the character, I didn't really have a memory of the character in general, but I thought he was very one-dimensional, the character. And I'm not quite sure how this compares with the comic book, though it sounds like the movie was at a better level than the comic or the graphic novel, excuse me. Mm-hmm. But I guess he just didn't seem to have much of an arc. He wanted to fly in the Nationals of the fly and race things, and he wants the girl the whole way. But you would think, I almost want to say, it seems like if you found this rocket thing, kind of going to what you said, his motivation is just to get the girl and earn enough money to get the back into doing what he's doing. Whereas if you think you find something like that, it's almost like I expect you to do more with it than just save a clown out of a plane.
It's very similar to the comic book. As far as there isn't much of a story arc for his character as far as his learning from anything or how is he different, because in the end he doesn't have the rocket.
Yeah, yeah. He just has a plane, but and the girl, but he had those things at the beginning, which is weird. It's almost like it was a reverse arc. It's he started off. You know what it was? It was like in video games where it's like a sequel, and you start off with all your items, and then you lose them all because of some stupid thing in the beginning, and you go through the whole game again and find them all, just to get to the
okay.
I think there's games like that.
So maybe it's about the journey, which you thought was boring.
Yes, that is it.
Okay.
Summed up. What's interesting, though, something that's... I remember really hating Timothy Dalton, the bad guy's character, when I watched this younger. Yeah, he just didn't like him. Yeah, but rewatching him, and this probably has more to do with me just being an adult, but I actually enjoyed his performance the most. I thought he was really interesting and just what he did.
Interesting.
Yeah, what did you think about him as the bad guy?
I thought he was fine both times.
Nice.
I wanted him to, like, okay, is he really falling for the girl? I don't think so. You know what I mean? I really wanted more from him, but not from Timothy Dalton's performance, but again, from the character. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Almost like it seems like it started going in the direction of, oh, I'm just going to use you to get to the rocket, but I actually start having feelings for you. I wish they had expounded on that more and carried it out more.
Yeah, but even then, that's so overdone. You know what I mean?
Even back then? I guess.
Yeah. It's like, oh, of course, the villain falls for the girl.
You're right. Yeah, that is overdone. So it probably would have just been like, I've seen this before. Why are they doing it again?
Yeah.
All right. But I think what they did with that part of the relationship was fine, but it didn't have the same tension that a true love triangle would have, and if that's what they were going for.
Now that would be more interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that we're here to pick things apart and make it more interesting. But
let's do that.
But if he wasn't like a Nazi spy, but let's say he was a Nazi spy, but he had a good heart or whatever. Something to make him likable, or maybe he was forced to because they're, you know, going to kill his family or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there really was a love triangle there. That would be interesting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that totally would be interesting. Have you ever seen the movie? I bet you haven't. And even if you did, you probably would make fun of me. Shining Through with Michael Douglas and Melanie Griffith.
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Okay. I would recommend at least seeing it. It may not be a favorite since I'm a Somewhere in Time fan. And
and I'm not. And so, wait. Does this have to go with time travel?
No, it has nothing to do with time travel. No, it's a period movie in that takes place in Germany during World War II. I think it's pre-war. Pre-America joining the war, but they're still sending spies, and they send Melanie Griffith as a spy. And early on, there's a love triangle between her and a semi-good-hearted Nazi commander. And then she also has a burgeoning relationship, budding relationship with the sort of CIA, her boss in the CIA or her handler in the CIA. So there's an interesting triangle there.
Okay.
So I'd recommend it.
Okay, cool.
I was just giving an example of a similar time period where that type of thing could work. Or
sure.
Where another movie that's done it, I think, successfully.
All right. What do you think about the visual / audio? Did you enjoy the music?
I had more to talk about the characters, but all right.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were done because you were talking about another movie. So I thought,
I still have things to go through. Oh, my gosh. Paul just wants to get this show done. Wait, you got a hot date? You and Valerie have a hot date tonight?
Well.
What better to do on a Wednesday night?
Yeah.
So I thought did you remember going back a little bit to the tall bad guy? I don't remember what his name was. Did you remember he was in this movie?
Yes.
Not the actor, but just that character.
Yeah. Because I always thought he was kind of strange. Mm-hmm. Like, one of these things doesn't belong here.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
He's kind of like a leftover from Dick Tracy.
Exactly.
It's like, well, it worked here. Let's put him in here.
Yeah.
It was just a little bit too over the top. Mm-hmm. And so, he stood out to me. Yeah.
I had completely forgotten about him. I had no memory that there was a character like that in this movie. So it was interesting to see him again. I thought he was just very much the henchman, the, you know, overpowered henchman.
Yeah, and he was.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, though.
When those guys came in and started roughing up the Bulldog Cafe,
mm-hmm.
where they're, like, putting, PB's head to the
counter,
the grill, and all that, they were like, and throwing and breaking things. I was like, that got really intense for me. Maybe I just caught up on all of it.
No, that's awesome. But
I didn't remember it being so intense as a kid. But this time watching it, I was like, man, they're really they're trying to fry his head off.
Yeah, right. This is not the stuff of a kid's movie. Oh, my gosh. But they're okay. Did you find, though, that it was hard to distinguish between the FBI agents and the gangsters? Like, in that scene you're talking about, I didn't know if those were the feds or the gangsters that were roughing up the place.
Yeah, not – and I think I suspected that was done intentionally.
Oh, really?
Because – I think gangsters don't want to set themselves apart too much. They want to be looked at as an authority figure, someone mm-hmm. to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But if they wear like gangster badges or something, then people are going to be like, okay, call the cops. You know what I mean? So they want to blend in with the authorities. So what best way to do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But just from a movie watcher, I wish they could have still had the gangsters in suits, but maybe just a different color suit, like black or navy blue. Just so, I mean, because none of the actors were, or even their character roles were distinguished enough for me to know, oh yeah, these are the mobsters, these are the FBI.
Right. And I thought it helped add to the mystery. Okay, which guys are these now? You know, it was
mysterious. I just found it more confusing than mysterious. Oh, okay. But
yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm curious, what did you think of you said that it was really cool to see Terry O'Quinn. Did you have any?
Yeah.
So you forgot that he was in the movie?
Yeah, I remembered that he played Howard Hughes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember the Howard Hughes character, but I totally forgot it was played by John Locke. Okay. Or, I mean, Terry.
Nice. Yeah, I thought he did a good job there. It was really interesting seeing what he did with that character, and he was definitely engaging.
I don't think it's like a stellar performance. It's like, oh, have you seen him in this role? He's magnificent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just thought, you know, it was just cool to see him, who I know from another character, as another character in that role.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Similarly, Well, kind of. I thought it was interesting to see Alan Arkin again. I had forgotten that he was in that movie, and he played the mechanic.
Yes.
And the thing I remember him most notably from is Little Miss Sunshine. So this is quite different role. And he's way younger in this. But I thought it was cool to have this sort of mechanic character. What are you doing?
I'm trying to see how long. I'm making faces trying to see how long you can keep it together.
Oh, good job, co-host. Way to get this on track. No, that's fine.
So it's good to see him in a different role.
Yeah. Yeah, it is fun. And I thought he did. It's really cool how. Just how much he wanted to, you know, make the rocket as good as it could be, even to the end of the movie. He's like, oh, this is, look at this. We could enhance it this way.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job of portraying an engineer.
Yeah. And his wisecracks were some of the funniest, I thought.
Sure. Agreed. And what?
Oh, I should have brought up this when you mentioned Jennifer Connelly, but it was at the end of my notes, so I didn't.
Oh, okay. Saving the best for last.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? So, well, let me ask you this. Why do you think it was that you remembered Jennifer Connelly?
Because to me, when I think of her, and like, this is my favorite role of hers.
Oh, really?
I enjoyed her in Labyrinth and all this, but mm-hmm. this is like, when I think of Jennifer Connelly, I think of how she appears here.
Mm-hmm. No, totally. I think the reason I remembered her was because of all these actors, I've seen more of her movies. Yeah. More movies with her in it than any other movies with any of the other actors in it, except for Terry O'Quinn, but that's sort of a smaller role.
Yeah.
So, but in regards to her character, and I didn't really recall this about her, I felt like she was kind of this dichotomy between being vapid and being resourceful. It seemed like she was way too into the Timothy Dalton's character, and then she also liked Cliff. Mm-hmm. Cliff?
Yeah.
Cliff Secord. And I don't know, she didn't seem like, I wish I had the words, she just didn't seem all that caring about either of them. I mean, she did outwardly, but it's almost like there was some something underneath where she didn't really care about them. I don't know why I got that sense. That's just
it is. It's a young woman who is coming to her own. She is ready to go out and see the world. Mm-hmm. And so she is looking. She's attracted to the Hollywood and the glamour and the ritz that it provides.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that draw there. She likes this guy, but she doesn't want to be committed to either. She's not ready to be committed 100% to either, because there's that big old wide world out there to be explored.
Sure.
That she is ready and ripe for. So I think that's why there's that little bit of disconnect in that.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That does make sense. Okay, well, and I thought it was the resourceful how she tricked the Timothy Dalton's character into thinking that she was really falling for him, and then psh, with the vase.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah, good for her. Good job. Anyways, that's all I had to say about the characters in terms of emotions of the movie. I was sort of bored with it, but I thought the action parts were good.
Yeah, okay.
As you hit your computer screen, nice.
Yes.
But you wanted to talk about the visuals. What do you remember of the visuals or the soundtrack or anything like that?
I had a couple friends. Actually, I had this one friend who loves the soundtrack, and he was listening to it and was like, "What is this from?" He said, "The Rocketeer." I was like, "Really? I don't really." The theme song doesn't stand out like a great John Williams song or something like that.
But or a Danny Elfman song or something like that.
Right. It's not like a... He considers it a classic, and it's not bad, but to me it just doesn't stand out.
Yeah, I remember when the opening title sequence was coming in, or was starting, I remember thinking, oh, this has the makings of a really good soundtrack. I like how this is sounding, very orchestral and deep.
Yes, but I do like the orchestra.
Yeah, but as the movie progressed, I agree. I don't remember really any themes or anything like that that... It's like, oh, I'm still humming this to myself.
Yeah. The Rocketeer.
I think you're a little confused there, but yes. So did you remember the soundtrack?
No. Okay. I still don't remember
it. Yeah, exactly. Same for me. I remember what I remember from visually. And this did not happen to be the case, but I remember the Rocketeer versus the blimp in sort of during the day, and like he's like flying toward the blimp, and he's almost like going in like evasive maneuvers with it, trying to like spin around it or something. I don't know. I think where this whole imagery comes from, though, is from seeing Up.
Have you seen Up? Oh, maybe. Yeah.
I think. My mind grafted up on top of, or transposed up on top of images from The Rocketeer. I mean, there is that. Yeah, exactly. There certainly is that scene at the end during the finale where he's zooming up to the, or rocketeering up to the blimp, but it's at night and he just sort of lands on it. It's nothing crazy.
Right.
What's a visual part that stood out to you?
So when I watched it this last time, the special effects that they did use are outdated. You could tell they use like a blue or green screen. Some of the color isn't.
Yeah.
It's the, you know, the Rocketeer is, looks like it's cut out, you know, placed on there. But I was really impressed how many, non-special effects that they use with, you know, him landing and taking off. That was, which is not something that you'd see these days. There's a lot of shots they did that were real back, you know, that they used back then that looked really good.
Yeah.
So I was impressed with those.
Totally. One that sticks out in my mind is the dummy where they're testing it.
Yeah.
I think that was all real. I mean, it looked completely real. So... And yeah, I think other times where he's taking off and whatnot.
Yeah.
Do you remember? I had this memory of the rocket being a single engine, and it turned out to be two engines.
Oh.
Did you have any weird like memories like that where it...
I will tell you this, in the comic books, the original one, it is a single exhaust, like really? It's a single rocket, but in the movies it's a double.
Yeah.
So there, if you go into comic book stores or see something, you may see some Rocketeer models,
okay,
or statues, and that's one of the ways you can tell the difference between the movie version and the comic book.
Interesting.
It's like, that's the only difference is, I mean, the helmet's the same, and like the jacket that he wears and the pants, everything else is the same. Except now that I'm looking at the cover of the movie, in the poster on the upper right, it looks like the engine that it's like kind of painted on.
There's a glare.
Yeah, but it looks like that might be a single.
It does.
A single one there, but it's a two pack. I don't know what you call it. But in the movie, in the comic books, it's a single one.
Wow. Well, maybe that's pop culture images have been composited over my memories.
Well, great. Good for you. It worked this time, but it didn't work for Up.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. I agree, though, going back to what you're saying about the blue screen work. I thought the compositing was okay. Some scenes it was good. Others it was like, yeah, that coloring's not offense. Because we're so used to seeing things so seamless nowadays, it's totally like, oh, that's not – he wasn't really there.
Yeah. And then when he landed in the water, when he was going around and he skipped through the water mm-hmm. and landed in the mud, the animation of him in the water looked total. It's like, okay, that no, they needed better reference for that.
Oh, I didn't even pick up on that. I thought that looked fine. So that's interesting. Okay. So your background in animation probably helps you see stuff like that.
Yeah. I would have did it a little bit differently, tweaked it a little bit, but it was still a fun movie.
Yeah, totally. All right. Anything else you want to share about the audio or visuals before we go to the moment of truth? I don't know
Let's
why
go
I
to
call
the
it
moment
the
moment of truth. Moment of truth. Moment of truth. Moment of truth.
All righty. Paul, is The Rocketeer a classic or second class?
Well, of course The Rocketeer is a classic.
Okay, why don't you tell us what makes a classic to you?
What makes a classic to me? Okay, if I was sitting around with a group of friends, they're just like, hey, let's put on a movie, and someone suggested this movie mm-hmm. or a movie I would consider a classic, I would say, yes, let's do it. I'm up for rewatching it. Let's do it. It's a fun flick.
Okay.
So The Rocketeer for me is a fun flick. It is slow moving, but I like it. I think it's a classic.
Cool. For me, I would have to say The Rocketeer is second class.
Again.
I didn't rate it before.
No, the second episode. You're 2 for 2, but so am I.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I could have said the same thing to you. And how I come to my how I judge a movie as classic or second class is whether I think of... What?
You don't like The Rocketeer?
I thought it was fine, but it would not be a movie that I when Sophia's 8, 9, 10 saying, you know what, I think we should watch this because I really love this as a kid, and I think you're going to really love it and enjoy it and want and just quote it or have fun with it. I don't think she'd have that much fun with it.
It's not quotable.
Well, that's part of it, yeah. But just, yeah, overall, it does not provide the type of enjoyment a movie like Star Wars would or...
Well, now you're talking like the best of the best. I mean, you can't always hit a home run.
Well, sure, but that's why not all movies are classics for exactly that reason. You can't always hit a home run.
All right. So, okay.
Oh, no. What commentary would you like?
What do you mean?
Well, it sounded like you're going to ask a question for me to sort of expound on my reading.
Yeah, but then you answered it with when you said she was like 8 or 9, so the movie would have to be age appropriate.
Yeah,
for her to fully enjoy it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I would not expect her to be 18 and say, "Hey, youngin," I don't know why I called you youngin.
Because you're old.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. That's me at 48, essentially. Oh, my gosh. Anyways, it'd be when she's between 8 and 10, I would think.
Okay. But so are there more than just like 5 classic movies out there?
Here's what I'll do. I will tell you. I will give you a rundown of classic movies that are 15 years or older that we won't be doing anytime soon because we've seen them too recently. All right?
All right.
Princess Bride. I think I say that's a toward the top of the list. Back to the Future.
Okay.
Let me think. Star Wars. The original series of Star Wars movies.
Okay. Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones. Let's see. What else? A lot of the Disney movies like Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast.
Rocketeer. It was made by Disney.
So those are my those are just a few of what I would consider classics. That's the end of our roundtable. So we have one classic from Paul and one second class. So because we don't have a guest host, we are tied this week.
So you can't get outvoted this week.
Exactly. Ha 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 ha. Let's go ahead and move into our announcements and feedback.
ComSat Online. Receiving incoming transmission.
So we don't have any feedback this week, but if you, we'd love to hear from you. Please send us your feedback.
Your microphone next to the speaker and record it and send it to Francisco.
And that joke. Oh my gosh.
Where can they send that to? Francisco at?
No, feedback at retrorewindpodcast.com. What?
We're just going to get nothing but recordings of feedback at that feedback email.
That's not what feedback only means. There's multiple definitions. Oh, my goodness.
All right. So the email your feedback to feedback at
RetroRewindPodcast.com. You can also like us on our Facebook page, which is Facebook.com.
Oh, wait. The email address is a .com?
Yeah.
It's not a Gmail?
No.
Okay.
Turns out, if you... listeners, if you did try to email retrorewindpodcast@gmail.com, that email, I had not checked, was already taken by this. Apparently, someone had a podcast called Retro Rewind Podcast long ago. It has since vanished, but their Gmail still exists.
Oh.
So I went ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I went ahead and bought the domain name, retrorewindpodcast.com. You can find us there. We don't, actually, by the time this goes up, we'll have our episode 1 for Superman 3, in case you missed that. And we may even have some other posts.
So are you going to go back and edit episode 1 to the correct email address?
No, I put a note in the post.
All right.
Anyways,
that'd be funny. Be sure to email us at feedback@retrorewindpodcast.com.
Oh, thank you for sticking us through this last segment, listeners. Even though it's gotten a little bit zany, Paul's hair is going crazy. Send us an email at that feedback@retrorewindpodcast.com. Also, if you'd like to support the show, the best way to support the show would be just to tell your friends, hey, I'm listening to this podcast where they talk sort of nostalgia about old movies and they say whether they think you should watch this movie or not. I really enjoy it. I think you would enjoy it too. Just share it with your friends. RetroRewindPodcast.com.
Retro Rewind.
Yes,
it's fun to say.
It is fun to say.
Retro Rewind.
Oh, my goodness. Another way you could support us is by leaving us a rating and a review on iTunes. That helps us get noticed on iTunes and just is another way to support the show.
Yes.
With that in mind, Paul, is there anything you'd like to plug this week?
Not this week, but you can contact me through the Retro Rewind Facebook and friend me on there or message me on there. Or go to Twitter. At Twitter, I am at pauljpowers.com.
Is there a .com at the end of that?
Sorry, there is not. I have a webpage called pauljpowers.com. But it isn't it's outdated. I'm looking to revamp it soon, but that's not a way to contact me.
Gotcha.
So the way to contact me would be at Paul J. Powers for Twitter.
Cool. Sounds good. I don't really have anything new to plug. I'd still love if you go and check out my show, dadsvoicepodcast.com, especially if you're a dad or soon to be dad. And you can contact me also through the Facebook page or through the email or through funny monster faces that Paul's making at me. No, not through there. But those would be the ideal ways to contact me. All right, Paul, what are we going to be doing next time?
Next time we will be rewinding to 1987, just 2 years after Marty came back, with
nice.
The Masters of the Universe. Email us your memories of the... What?
I was going to say, wait, isn't Masters of the Universe a cartoon?
It's a movie starring Dolph... what's his name that fought Rocky in the fourth one. But it Mr. Strickland is in there.
So it was a cartoon, but they made a movie of it.
Well, yes, but it was also toys and all that good stuff. Yes, this is the He-Man movie, live action. Yes, cool. From 1987. So email us your memories of the Masters of the Universe and how you would rate it to feedback@retrorewindpodcast.com. Then we can include it as part of the show. We can finally have some feedback.
That'd be awesome. And we'd like, if you send us memories, we're not going to just save it for the feedback section. We'd actually put that in the round table because you have a voice too.
Oh, is that like a virtual machine?
What?
It could be part of like, so they'll be part of the round table. I remember Courtney Cox. And it's like, says weirdo@gmail.com.
I don't know if it would quite be like that, but we would do our best to work it into the conversation.
All right,
Paul, well, thank you so much for being my partner in this awesome podcast.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Have a great day, and listeners, have a great day, month, week, all of the above. See you all next time on the Retro Rewind Podcast.
Retro Rewind mission complete. Proceed to Nat Point Omega and return to base.